In Yemen, I visited a school which was occupied by internally displaced people. And as we know, there are millions in Yemen because of the terrible conflict, which has meant people have fled, as any of us would, when you fear bombs or whether you can't get your children into school. And there was a girl called Murray, and she was looking after eight of her siblings in the absence of any parents. And they were struggling to get food. They had at last become registered, so they were getting supplies from the very brave workers, the aid workers, be they both from the UN and other international and local NGO partners. So they were getting food and they were getting some access to medical support. But it was not possible as yet to give them schooling. So they brought home to me, more than anything else, that they shouldn't be victims in other people's wars, and that they were really struggling, and the international community was doing an amazing job in being able to give them the life saving as well as the protection that they needed.
Where do you think you've been the most effective in terms of the job, and what's been your biggest frustration?
In the just more than 2 years that I've been in the post, it's been primarily about the humanitarian needs that come out of man-made conflict, unresolved war, conflict, violence. Within countries and primarily within urban areas. And I've been really inspired by the courage, the persistence, the determination of the workers who want to really make sure that people who are affected by these crises, through no fault of their own, are given the life saving and the protection that they need. And that has been, as I say, inspiring, it's been rewarding. But the job itself is extraordinarily challenging. It's challenging because the rise in humanitarian needs around the world have been so exponential. And notwithstanding that we have managed to secure record amounts of funding in that period, the gap has grown wider. And the frustration is that we simply aren't able to raise our ability to respond at the same pace as the needs are arising. And in that period, we haven't had, thank goodness, but it's not to say we won't have in the future a very large humanitarian need as a result of natural hazard.
Your time in office has been dominated by some of the worst conflicts and humanitarian crises of the modern era. Is there any more that the UN could be doing in Syria, or is it really all up to the Security Council to act, as you've often said in your briefings to them?
Well, of course, one of the great privileges that the Emergency Relief Coordinator, the Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs, has within the United Nations here in New York is that you get to speak to the Security Council on a fairly regular basis about the challenges that are arising for human beings as a result of conflict and other disasters and emergencies. And it's been very clear to me that it is a duty and an obligation, and indeed expected by the GA resolution, the General Assembly resolution of the United Nations, which is known as 46/182, a very important resolution. Which expects me to raise very difficult issues and often speak in that phrase, which can be a little bit time-worn, but truth to power. Of course, that can be uncomfortable, it can be challenging, but it is very important that the facts are before all the member states here at the United Nations, the highest body in the world, which has the capacity diplomatically and politically to find a resolution and, even better, prevention of conflicts and the terrible disputes that then result in producing humanitarian needs which could be avoided. And that's the issue about conflict. It's man-made, and therefore it is capable of being unmade by man.
Obviously, Syria and Yemen stand out, but do you worry that some of these complex conflicts will just prove to be unsolvable?
I never accept that these are unsolvable, because with a will, with people coming together, with a really putting our fellow human beings around the planet first, rather than necessarily the dispute for power or for the competition for resources. And increasingly, that is not just occasioned by the normal issues of of greed and power, but also because we are becoming more and more challenged by the scarcity of resources, be that brought about by the exacerbation of climate change or because of the increase in population, where we have a major scarcity of drinking water sources concentrated in the areas where most populations are. So I do see that all the issues can be solved as long as there's political will, so long as we continue to put a huge premium on our ability to talk through our differences, talk through the options, talk through the chances of making a difference, and at the same time recognise that we have the highest possible public duty internationally to relieve the suffering of our fellow human beings wherever that arises.
What are you going to miss most about being the UN Relief Chief?
Well, I'm certainly not shy of putting in a hard day's work, but I think what I will definitely miss most is working with extraordinary people doing an extraordinary job. And I mean that both within my own team, within the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, here and across about 40 countries of the world. It's very important that the work of people on the ground is fully recognised. These are extraordinarily dedicated, skilled, committed and very brave people, very often serving in what we call non-family duty stations, so that they are not particularly in a safe environment, and yet they commit to really doing what they can to help save the lives and to protect people in these very difficult areas. But I shall be extremely sorry to miss the inspiring context of being able to do something about the suffering, whether that's through the people we have here in the UN or through our partners in the international NGOs, or indeed through the very many local people whom we work with, particularly to get that last mile.
Looking back and reflecting, is there anything that you would have done differently?
Well, I think we can always, with the benefit of hindsight, think of ways to improve. We can see by the massive gap there is between the amount of need out there in the world and the resources we're able to bring to bear upon those. There's this widening gap. So the insufficiency of our response is something which hurts, and it's something which clearly is very much part of our inability to be fully accountable to affected peoples right around the world. So looking back, I wish I had found a better way of being able to raise more resources to make sure that that converts to the cash that buys the programs which are put together by extraordinarily skilled and experienced people, both here at the UN and in the international and national NGOs and other people of goodwill, in order to meet the needs of people who are suffering as a result primarily of conflict, which of course we need to do even better at preventing and resolving.
Any advice for your immediate successor?
Above all, meet the people to whom we are ultimately accountable, the people who need us most, the most vulnerable people in the planet, are those who are suffering because of, as I say, primarily conflict. But wherever earthquakes or tsunamis or volcanic eruptions arise, we must be ready to respond and to work with governments in making sure that we relieve suffering. So get out and about to meet the people not only who are affected, to really sharpen up our sense of accountability and what drives the practical response that lives out the values of the United Nations and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. As I have sought to do, make sure that everything that you do is rooted in the principles of international humanitarian law, human rights law, refugee law, and making sure that we call people to account so that the suffering that is brought about by people not being in compliance with those clearly fully agreed laws right around the world are put into place. And that accountability should, we hope, be a better deterrent to some of the unspeakable acts which are causing humanitarian suffering today.